This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the National Sewing Circle. To get a premium year-long membership for $3, go to thesewcircle.com/sewing. Your discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's thesewcircle.com/sewing.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're going to follow up part two of our adjustment period series. And actually, it's kind of funny because listener Jasmine was... She shared something in her stories, and I can't remember exactly how we came around to it, but she said, I got a new machine with a knee lift, and I love this knee lift. And I had told people in the past that they were just kind of hard to get used to and, and useless, you know? Right. And she's like, now I feel bad. And I was like, it's okay. We all make mistakes, you know? I was like, we just recorded a podcast on getting used to it, you know? So I wonder if... You know, maybe she had a... We talked about electronic versus manual knee lift, so I wonder if it's one or the other. Anywho,
well, you know...
Timely episode.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about adjustments again, and...
Adjustments.
We're project people. But, you know, our last thing that we recorded was about you fixing a mixer, and I was doing
actually,
some
I think
tiling.
This is going to come out before then.
Well, whatever. I said recorded. I did not say published.
You're right. Okay.
I was very careful.
You're right.
But what I'm saying is we often talk about our projects, right?
Yes,
you know, digging a pond, whatever it might be. I don't know. But laying a floor, I don't, whatever. So oftentimes when I do these projects.
Yes.
Talking about adjustment. This is related to adjustment period. It's actually kind of.
We'll get to it.
Kind of an analogy.
All right.
Not really an analogy. Whatever. But, you know, it's so, for instance, we just did this tile job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's like, you know, about the third to last, you know, piece of tile that I'm grouting, and I go, I think I got it down now.
Yeah.
Like, it's never like in the beginning. It's like, oh, I should have been doing it this way the whole time. Not that you did it wrong the other way, but now you're more efficient and you're better.
Oh, sure.
And it's easier. And,
well,
you
that's
know, you
the
got
feeling,
the movement and the technique down.
That's the feeling of mastery.
Right.
Where you can just go into it.
Well, it would be okay if that was like
if it was your job.
My career.
Right. That's
right. What I'm saying. But now I've mastered that and, you know.
And you don't have to tile another bathroom for another 20 years,
right? Exactly.
Okay. Well. We'll see you in 20 years, guys. You know, this episode's coming out later, but January 8th of 2021 was our five-year anniversary.
That was our anniversary.
Of podcasting. And,
oh my gosh.
You know, I wish that I had planned a thing or something.
A celebration?
Yes, a celebration.
A celebration?
That would have been nice, but I did not. However, I think we're going to get to like our 300th episode this
year. That'll work too.
So maybe we could do that. I'm not, I think this is episode like 274 right now or something. I've got the spreadsheets.
Oh, I was going to say we still can't have a get together because we're still COVID-ing.
Not yet, I don't think, but someday.
Someday.
All right, so adjustment
period. Zelda will be a teenager by the time,
Zelda thinks she's a teenager right now.
Yeah.
She's always talking about it.
I just saw a post. Did you see that post that I reposted on Facebook where I was actually balancing her on my feet and I took a picture of her face?
Balancing Zelda.
Right. Yeah. And she's like, how can you do this? Or what was it?
Yeah, how can you do this?
Old. Yeah, you're so old. I can't believe you can do this. You're so old. Thank you.
Thank you, Zelda.
Yes.
So we talked about knee lifts last time and what? Knee lifts and it's... I just looked at
surgery.
Surgery.
Just getting. So as far as our little mini.
Yeah. So we talked about adjustment periods. And today we're going to talk about tracing and rotary cutting, which I think those things go together so well.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about rotary cutting first?
Okay.
I think. So the there are, like, you don't have to rotary cut to sew, right?
No.
And you don't have to, like,
You don't have to trace to sew either.
You don't have to trace to sew.
There's a lot of things you don't have to do to sew.
You do have to get used to your serger if you're going to serge.
Right.
So, but these are kind of optional. But the alternative to rotary cutting is, of course, if you're trying to get used to it, you've been cutting things out with scissors.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Oh, my gosh. There's this commercial on TV. It is so horrible. And I can't remember. It's about a drug or something. I can't remember. But they're acting like these women are like interior decorators. And they take this piece of fabric and they like flop it on a table. And it's like folded and rippled, you know. And then they take this pair of scissors and they hold up the end of the fabric and they start cutting. And I'm like,
they're doing something without
any. That would work. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Without any knowledge. Kind of like when they pour the melted butter into the pie crust at the beginning of the musical Waitress.
Yeah.
Have I?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Took
Not
me.
Not good.
I think
well, there's a medical show the other day, and somebody even posted this on Facebook, and it was, you know, like, I guess related to COVID, and out of the ET tube, they had the ET, it was actually like a blood-draining tube. It wasn't the right tube.
No,
and it had, like, blood, I mean, it's not the right.
It's not the right
like
thing.
Like, the medical consultants were on lunch break when
I know that I probably have said something or done something that was out of my wheelhouse that really, like, graded on someone's
somebody
nerve.
Else's nerves,
I get it,
right,
but
right.
That happened.
No, but it's just, but that commercial just kills me. Like, just cut, go.
Well, if they were really doing things efficiently.
Well, I was thinking maybe that drug could make you do it that way.
There you go.
Oh.
You can't get anything out. Okay, so rotary cutters as an alternative to scissors. Now, here's the thing. With your rotary cutter, you do need a complementary piece of equipment, right? Which is?
A cutting mat.
A cutting mat. And that, I think, is something that will get in people's way. Like, if cutting mats can be difficult to store, you know?
Yes.
So a cutting mat that's large enough to put, like, a garment piece on.
Well, I guess so. But the other thing I want to say here is, when I use scissors,
yeah,
like, I had a cutting mat, too.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, if I was on my dining room table, I didn't want to cut up next to my dining room table with scissors.
Sure, sure.
Right. But it's a different type of...
It's a different type of cutting
mat.
So you can use, like, a cardboard cutting mat.
Yeah.
You know, we used to sell, like, a real cheap one, and that would be for use with scissors. But I do know some people, like, their situation may get in the way of them using a cutting mat and a rotary cutter because of maybe space or being able to store the cutting mat. Like, people who are like, I cut things
out on my bed. You put it between your bed and your mat, your mattress
Okay.
That's where I used to keep mine.
Never mind. There's no problem. There's no problem.
Behind the couch?
Yeah.
I mean, you want me to keep going?
No.
There's all these places.
Well, maybe, sure. Sure, yes, yes. No.
Let's see.
Okay, so if you
But
think,
no, under your mattress.
That's
you
very
keep
true.
Your cutting mat under your mattress.
Oh, man, I'm tempted to get off on another tangent, but I'm not going to do it. You're welcome, everyone. Okay, so you need a cutting mat with your rotary cutter. And then I think that you also... Really, you need to embrace pattern weights with a rotary cutter.
Yes, I think so, too.
Even if you want a pin as well, okay? Because...
I'm sorry. Okay, pins distort the pattern layout.
They do. Let me finish,
yes.
Okay? I was going to say we should have a New Year's resolution to not interrupt each other so much.
How would that happen?
Because we've been getting...
We get those comments.
We've been getting complaints, Mom. Okay.
I love complaints.
Anyway.
I love them.
So, let's pretend somebody's like, you're going to pry my pins out of my cold, dead hands. I like to pin my pattern pieces. And we're like, fine, even though we don't like to do that, you can do that.
Right.
But I think something that can really help a beginning rotary cutter person as they are adjusting is to weight down your fabric outside of the pattern pieces as you are rotary cutting so that it doesn't shift around on your mat. I think that happens to people and they get turned off. I know it doesn't like always happen to us, but that can be something that can help you. So I know a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, it's just like out of my control. Like with the scissors, they feel more like they've got it.
The reason they feel like they have control with scissors is they started with those in kindergarten.
I know. So this is what,
this
is like rotary cutter kindergarten.
Okay. It is. It's what it is.
So you're cutting out. So first of all, ZD and I do not pin our pattern pieces down. I can't think
Rarely.
Of a time.
I'm trying to think. I have pinned layers of fabric together. Do you know
outside of your layout? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Well, there's another thing that could maybe be helpful. Okay. So, yeah, if you're cutting on the fold or cutting multiple layers.
Well, it's something very shifty.
Yep.
Or it's two different types of fabric.
Hey, you know what we showed in one of our Zigzagger broadcasts was taping down the fabric.
Taping down, or spray.
Yeah.
That I do a lot of that. Spray adhesive, temporary spray.
And taping the fabric to the cutting table. You wouldn't spray your fabric
to the
cutting
table. No, but I'm
talking
about two pieces together.
Yes, but I just wanted to clarify.
Oh.
So no one sprayed their cutting mat and
glued
the fabric down.
Somebody might do that. But, yes, you can tape your fabric
with
to your cutting table. Like low-tech. Painter's type tape.
You know what I have done, and you have, of course, I learned it from you.
Right.
With small pattern pieces that can even be hard to weight down or pin, is to scotch tape them down.
Right.
With cellophane tape, because then you just cut through it. That's fine. You don't try to peel the tape off.
Nope.
Everything's okay. So you.
Or you trace the pattern piece.
Onto the fabric.
Onto the fabric.
That I had people do that with their ginger jeans.
Right.
Okay. If you here's where I'm like. If you trace the pattern onto the fabric,
mm-hmm.
I would be more okay using scissors in that instance.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Well,
okay,
well,
stand
the,
up.
The reason is, and we'll get to it, or
we're going to do it.
When you cut with scissors, there is absolutely more likely a distortion than with the rotary cutter. Because you're putting a blade up under and you're opening and closing and opening and closing, and you're going along with a straight blade, oftentimes on a curved line.
So if you have a pattern piece pinned to fabric and then you go at it with your scissors,
right.
You're putting one blade of the scissors under the fabric,
right.
And you're, you know, things don't stay always perfectly lined up. Now,
right.
With the rotary cutter, you're just going right on top
right.
of everything, and you're not disturbing all that jazz.
That's
as
correct.
Much. And so that's why, if you were wondering, like, why the hell would I want to try this? Okay, this is why.
Well, and then
you know?
the other reason you'll want to try it is you will become so efficient, and you get a better. You honestly just get a better cut. So if you have something that frays or is a very loose weave, or all there's on and on and on and on and on. And sharp.
If you're using a nice...
A blade is sharper than scissors no matter what.
If you're using a nice sharp rotary cutter, and changing a blade and rotary cutter is easier than going and like getting your scissors
it's
sharpened.
It's less expensive.
Yeah.
It's more reasonable.
So,
right.
So make sure, so as you're getting used to it, you've bought your cutting mat. You're like, I'm going to give it a try. Weighting down that fabric and making sure your I mean, you need to do this when you use scissors, too.
Right.
But making sure that the fabric isn't falling off your table and
right.
going to weight
Are
it
pulling,
down.
Right.
You know, yeah, pulling, distorting. Weights. This is the time.
That's one reason weights are nice.
Yeah, to try pattern weights. Okay, so not only will they keep their pattern in place, they'll help keep the fabric in place. And you... You know, practice, okay, because quilters who use rotary cutters often are using a rotary cutter in conjunction with a ruler.
With a straight edge. Uh-huh.
And that's great. And that's, I'm all for it and everything. And when I'm cutting a big, long rectangle, oftentimes I'll get out my ruler.
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
I get out
a ruler.
Yeah, I get a straight
okay,
edge.
Okay,
going
to cut out like a belt loop that's, you know,
right.
whatever, 2 feet long. I'm going
right.
to cut out some straps or a waistband.
Especially
that's
if
straight.
It's a skinny belt loop.
Yeah.
You know, that helps.
It's very
because
nice.
Because that straight edge, it's nice to have it wide enough, like 4 inches wide,
mm-hmm.
say. So you can put your hand on top of it,
right.
press down. You're not only pressing it in place, but you are compressing those fabrics and running that blade
right.
through it, and it's so much easier.
So you can use a ruler. Now,
I have a note here I can't read, and I keep trying to read
okay,
it.
Okay, well,
ahead.
You try that. Well, so using a ruler on straight edges, go for it. But do be careful. You want to hug the edge of that ruler. But I think sometimes people get a little overzealous. And I feel like I've heard of more quilters jumping the ruler and cutting their hand.
Yeah.
So even if you're using a ruler, you need to keep your other hand behind the rotary cutter. Your non-cutting hand needs to be behind the blade, you're moving forward.
I think another thing when it comes to body mechanics, this is safety and efficiency and ergonomics, right?
Uh-huh.
Is that you get on top of that rotary cutter.
Yeah, so
you're not to the side. You're not to the back. you are basically on top.
Yeah, I've seen people do some, you know, it's like you can barely reach it. So you're like, right. I'm going to contort a little bit.
Walk around or move your fabric, get the stool.
Get out the stool
or crawl on top of the table is what I
whatever so you need to do.
A lot of people that can cut on a floor, they like that.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Now some people can't, mm-hmm. you know, physically it bothers their back or whatever, their knees.
I don't want to cut on the floor.
Well, a lot of people
some people love it.
Some people just love it.
Give it to
you. Your knee, you know, whatever. Yeah. I mean, we have a table that is waist height, say, and we have little stools all around.
That's right. And so you need to get on top of it, use a ruler, and then I think so many people get so afraid of curves.
And honestly, curves are really the easiest way,
yes.
honestly, so to cut a good curve.
First, remove your mental block about
it.
Okay?
Right.
Like, believe that it can be done.
Believe you're amazing.
Yes, yes. And right. actually, I think you're going to find that if you do have things within, you know, your reach and you've got those kind of where you can get over the rotary cutter and have good body mechanics, that cutting a curve is going to be even easier. In fact, when I cut a curve out with scissors now, it looks like a three-year-old did
I mean, rotary cutting initially was not just quilting. It just sort of came into sewing. And then quilting started getting popular. And of course, you know. Quilters can do all of this assembly line stuff.
Yeah, strip,
and
strip,
they
strip.
Do a lot of straight lines, mm-hmm. right? So, mm-hmm. you know, bam, 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 it got really popular in quilting. But a couple of things happen. You know, people moved away from garment sewing and, you know, it just didn't, people didn't worry about it because they're only cutting out one garment. They're not cutting out 52, mm-hmm. right triangles to fit into 90 more blocks that they've got to cut another 52 right triangles for or whatever. So it did get kind of left behind, I feel like, in fashion sewing.
Yeah. And, you know, at Stevens, where I went to school, they've got cork tables.
Yep.
And they don't have cutting mats on them, like, by default. Like, if you want to use a cutting mat, you need to – I don't even know if they have them. It's not their default way of cutting things out.
You know, in the costume shops, we didn't have cutting mats, and we used cardboard.
Yeah.
You know.
So
– I mean, we had our cork tables that we put a cardboard on if we wanted to use a rotary cutter.
So you rotary cut it on cardboard?
Yep.
Not a self-healing mat?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so I think it said, like, you have to get a self-healing object.
Well, it's the best thing to cut on, okay? Absolutely the best thing to cut on, okay? Because what happens with cardboard is you go down through it.
Right.
You know, and it hangs you up.
Right.
But
then
we did use them.
Right.
I mean, that's what we did at the time. And I want to tell you, we didn't have big, huge cutting mats like we do now. They were all, like, you know,
little
scrapbooking or whatever. Yeah.
Scrapbooking,
I mean,
cutting
mat. The very first one I had, I think, was like 2 feet by 1.5 feet or something.
You know, I will say for garment sewing, you know, what do you think, like, the minimum cutting mat size?
You know, I think I would want like at least maybe a 4x4 or whatever.
Yeah, 4x3 at least.
4x3, whatever.
Because 36
you've
inches.
You've got to have a little bit of length.
Yeah, 36 inches, you could fold a 60-inch piece of fabric in half.
Right. And what people do is they move this around under the garment.
Yeah,
oftentimes.
Right. I would say that 4x3 would maybe be my minimum, too.
I love our 4x8. We have 4x8.
Okay,
by eight,
you know, is what I, of course, is really lovely. But if I was going to, you know, get something. And we have duct tape on the corners of our cutting mat to keep it on our table.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen people, and we have in the past also used command strips to
hold it down.
Yep, to hold it down. There is a cutting system, which, you know, it's not something I use every day, but I think it could be really good for someone with a smaller space, that DIY style cutting system where they've got magnets to hold down the stuff,
magnets,
which is
nice.
Super duper cool.
Right.
And the other side's cork.
Right.
So you have both a self-healing mat and a cork board with the magnets. And so anyway, I think what I was saying before about curves is give yourself some practice.
Right.
And something that can help is if you start to get into tighter curves is a smaller rotary cutter.
Right. And that, we, you know, when they came out, all we had was that tiny one.
So we normally, every day, we're using like a 45 millimeter.
Right. And it used to be 18. Is that what that's?
Well, there's a, I think, what? 28. Is we don't own an 18. They exist.
Okay.
But we don't have
What's
one.
What's that little?
28.
That's a 28
yeah.
we have. Okay. And then there's a 60.
And the 60.
The 60's big with quilters.
The 60's big with quilters because you're getting more bang for your buck.
Yeah. I mean, bam, bam, bam.
Okay.
Bam.
No, more ruler for your roll. More run.
More cut for your diameter. I don't know.
It's a bigger circumference. So you are getting to cut like a longer length. Your blade could last longer.
Now,
you know.
A lot of people will go, oh, but it hurt my wrist to use the rotary cutter.
Yeah.
It can. Any repetitive motion can always hurt you. Mm-hmm. But scissors can hurt your wrist and your hand also.
I think, yeah.
Okay, you honestly can wear like the
glove or a brace,
or you could be holding it wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, that can be part of it too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, garment cutters will not complain about this so much. Because they'll cut out, one garment at a time or something.
I mean, yeah.
They aren't doing the repetitiveness
of it. Yeah, hobby sew is like, you know what'll bug me with the rotary cutter is my shoulder.
Oh, really?
When I'm cutting, it was when I was cutting lots and lots of yardage, for like the sew here boxes, and I was extending.
Right.
And actually.
And you were overextending
this
probably.
This is an indication to me that I need to
work out.
Some yoga. Yeah, exactly. I mean, personally.
Stretch some things.
I was like, okay, well, clearly.
Maybe you should be stretching some things.
I need to stretch my shoulder. I need to strengthen my shoulder. But, I don't have, a shoulder injury or anything that that's special. But
this just happened to me.
It was repetitive, though.
Yeah,
you know?
This just happened to me with grouting the tile,
Tell us about the tile.
Well, my trainer is into arms right now and doing push-ups, right?
Okay.
And she keeps doing all of this upper body work and arms and push-ups and stuff. And we had just done this, and then the next day I'm grouting, and I'm like, the whole time I'm like, damn it, Tina, damn it. But I look good, and I lasted a really long time.
So, not to switch gears totally, but people have been talking about the COVID vaccine and how, I can get some soreness.
Right.
And So Steen, who is
a physician.
And she's I don't know if she calls herself a cosplayer. She's like a historical garment.
Yeah, she's historical.
I don't think she calls herself a cosplayer.
I've never heard her say that.
But she's kind of in that realm. Right.
She does recreations and things.
She was talking about arm soreness. And I'm like, this didn't happen with this flu shot, but it was the year before. I woke up the next day and was like, oh my God, I knitted too much or something.
Right.
I have injured my shoulder. And then I remember I was like, oh, I got the flu shot. Shoot. And it went away in a day.
But at first I
thought, it was like, did someone hit me?
I will tell you, I know not everybody will believe this or want to do this, but I had a tetanus booster in one arm and a flu shot in the other arm. And then I went to a workout class that night, and they did, and they concentrated on arms.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my gosh. But you know what? The next day, those were the best shots I ever had. I think because I worked the muscle through the soreness. Now, when I was in the class, I wasn't thinking that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes with those shots, it's a physical, someone has put a needle in your arm,
And you'll hear people say, well, use your non-dominant arm because it's going to be sore. See, I would rather use my dominant arm and work it out.
Well,
so I don't know.
That's ZD for you. Okay.
Now, well, I just think it works better
for
me.
Okay, but you should practice cutting rotary cutter curves is where we were.
Right. And we were talking about the repetitive soreness
in the size of the blade. Okay.
Right.
And I also want to say,
so the smaller the curve, the smaller the blade. Does that make sense to everybody?
So if you're cutting out, a lot of people say they use these real small rotary cutters for lingerie. Or because it's not just small pieces, it's itty bitty curves.
Right.
And I have been at the cutting table with my rotary cutter and cut almost the entire pattern piece out and maybe used ZD's favorite scissors to cut out, on a fly, there's
that little clip that goes in.
If you can imagine what I'm saying.
Well,
and
sometimes
I'll cut out the whole thing.
And you want to make sure you don't cut into.
That's
right.
It has to remain all intact. So then I'll go
boop,
with those. So it's not once you get the rotary cutter out, you have to throw away your fabric shears.
Or you can use the razor blade.
Well, single edge razor blade. Just so you know.
What? To cut out that little fly area? Mm-hmm.
I've done it.
That's weird. I don't know.
It's weird, but it works.
It's weird. That's weird. Okay, so you can still use your scissors.
Right.
But those ZD's favorite scissors, they're not shears. You know, they're like if a fabric shear and a thread snip had a baby, you know, so it's big enough to do a little bit of
distance.
It's
a big handle on it and a small blade.
Right. So you can still do that if you're uncomfortable, but give yourself some practice. Try to cut some things out. Like, when I say practice, I don't mean like do it on a final garment. I mean, get out some practice fabric, you know.
Or go down and cut a lot of pizza with your pizza cutter.
Well, but who cuts curved pizza?
I'm just saying. Go around the pepperoni.
What did Derek saw? He was like, why do we have a pizza cutter? I was like, that is a
rotary cutter.
I don't. Yeah. Anyway. So.
Okay. So when I was a child, we cut pizza with scissors.
I still cut pizza. I cut my homemade pizza with scissors.
Yeah. You either had the pastry cutter, and it was not called a pizza cutter in my day. It was called a pastry cutter. Right.
Yeah. I also have a pasta cutter.
Oh, yeah.
That will cut the little itty bitty strips.
I was going to say it's got more than one blade.
Yeah. Oh, it's
And
got
they
like
make
seven.
Rotary cutters like that, too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. So do practice on your curves. Use the ruler on straight things. And we didn't mention you can use a protective glove.
Yes.
On your other hand if you
yes.
want. I mean, I cut myself and burn myself and stuff more in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
I injure myself more in the kitchen than I do in the sewing studio. In fact, the only time I've ever cut myself with a rotary cutter, it wasn't even while I was cutting fabric. It's like my hand got in the way while I was like moving it. Like I've sliced on the top of my...
And that's definitely things that you need to think about. Where you store that, don't grab it. It should always be locked if you're not using it. We had a friend that actually it fell off of her table. It was not locked.
And she was injured.
Injured badly. Like it hit the top of her foot. It cut a nerve. She had foot drop. She had to go in and have surgery, you know, to match up that nerve.
Right.
And fortunately, it was a nice clean cut.
Yeah.
So, you know, they did match up the nerve and she wound up okay. But, you know, just over. And what it was actually is I think her husband lifted up a piece of fabric or something, you know.
So it was absolutely unexpected.
Yeah, but she had not locked her blade.
Yeah, keep it locked when it's not in use. So we talk about this in Safety in the Sewing Room, I think. There's a couple podcast episodes about that. And so, I would really recommend the rotary cutter. It's a technique you'll use forever.
It's the only
way we cut out garments.
I mean, it's just that once you do it, you think, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, scissors were clunky and, you know, it's just so much more efficient.
It's so much faster.
It's clean and efficient.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, let's take a quick break and then let's talk about adjusting to tracing.
Mallory, you know what I always say?
What do you always say?
You can never have too much sewing knowledge.
I agree. And that's why we'd like to introduce you to the folks at National Sewing Circle. If you're having stitch quality issues or experiencing thread breakage or difficulties getting the tension set on your machine, the National Sewing Circle can help.
If you've been wanting to learn how to work with slinky knits, faux fur, heavy vinyl, any other specialty type fabric, but aren't sure what needles, thread, or machine settings to use,
then National Sewing Circle is a fabulous online resource for sewing instruction, projects, fun ideas, and inspiration that you should take advantage of. Their goal is simple, to help you become a better sewer. And they have an amazing offer. Sign up for National Sewing Circle premium membership with this exclusive Sewing Out Loud offer to get a full year of their premium membership for only $3.
That's 95% off normal price. Visit thesewcircle.com/sewing to take advantage of this great offer. The discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
Join a community of passionate sewers who are committed to expressing their creativity and learning to create beautiful projects. Go to thesewcircle.com/sewing to get access to hundreds of full-length instructional videos led by expert instructors. thesewcircle.com/sewing. Thanks, National Sewing Circle!
Sewing Out Loud.
Hey there!
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. Okay, with tracing, you know what you're going to have to get used to? Really excellently fitting garments.
That's right.
So where were you coming from if you weren't tracing? You were laying out a pattern. You were like, I'm this size. I'm going to cut it out.
That's right.
And I'm going to throw everything else away.
That's right.
So why would you trace?
And if I ever change sizes or want to use this pattern ever again, I'll have to buy a new one.
Out of luck. Okay. So we have talked about team trace before.
Right.
Like, this isn't a convince you kind of thing. This is if you're trying.
We have team trace and team cutout.
Yes. So
Mallory and I are both on team trace.
Absolutely.
I don't know who the, I mean, I are you the captain? I guess I'm the, are we co-captains? Because I don't know who's the captain of cut it out.
I don't know.
I don't either. Speak up. I don't know who it is.
Now, whatever works for you. There are people out there who have like, I've cut patterns all my life and I'm happy. Great, you know.
Do what makes you happy.
Do what makes you happy. I said,
don't torture yourself by some advice given by us.
I love
Please.
All people. I love all people, but I tried to do like the George Orwell thing. All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. And so I tried to do that. I said it about tracers before. I'm I love all people who sew, but I love all people who trace more. So when you're tracing, what you need to do to get used to
it. So what we're talking about is tracing your pattern and not cutting your pattern out on the manufacturer's line.
Yeah, you know, first of all, this is something that's only possible when you get a multi-size pattern. Okay. I mean, I guess you can.
What are you talking about? That was just wrong.
Well,
that was all wrong.
I trace
a pattern.
I'm printing out. I'm disappointed that I'm printing this out, but I bought a pattern, and, like, I can print the size 10, or I can print the size 12, or I can print the size 14.
No.
Yeah, ew, right? I'm not really, really very happy.
Yeah.
So when I print out that single size pattern, no, I'm not going to trace that.
But there's nothing wrong with tracing that pattern either.
No.
Because you can make changes to that pattern.
If I realize if I want to make alterations to it, I'll trace that.
Okay.
Okay.
You say alterations. When you say alterations, are you talking about size
adjustments.
Changes? Fitting adjustments.
Fitting adjustments.
When I say alterations, I might be talking about changing the neckline, changing the sleeve, changing the hemline. That's an alteration to me also.
Okay. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. I'm just
saying. So I may trace that pattern.
Yeah.
And then add something to it. Add a pleat. Add a different neckline. So I have kept my original intact, so I
okay,
can go back
to
it.
Okay, but I can cut out that pattern and still keep the original intact is what I'm saying.
Yes, but then it's harder to trace.
I don't think it's harder to trace.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Put it down. Put the tracing paper over it. Put some weights on it. Trace it.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm just saying.
Okay. I guess you're right.
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
So you haven't altered it at all?
No, and
okay.
I don't know if I'll need to or not.
Right.
So I'll have to tape it. Like,
I guess what I'm saying is
altogether.
My reason for tracing is to keep the original pattern intact.
And what I'm saying is the original pattern will be intact, even if
right.
I cut it out, because it's only
so
one size.
So if you're doing that and keeping intact, good. Okay.
Okay. So this, well, I guess our sort of
but
advocacy.
But some patterns, even if the size would... Might they not come with two or three different printed necklines or something?
Yeah, a view of different views or something like that.
Right.
Yes, that's true. But our advocacy for this kind of stems from multi-size patterns, I feel like, a lot of the time. So people will get a pattern with 3, with 7, with 10 sizes.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I'm just cutting it out and I don't care about those other ones. Whereas the reason I like multi-size patterns and I would prefer to purchase them that way is in case I need to blend between the sizes.
Yes, blending, it's nice to be able to blend.
Or if I change size or if I make it for someone else. Okay,
right.
So that's why you would want to trace. So what do you need to get tracing, Mom? if you're going to get used to tracing, what do you have to have?
The first thing you need to have is some paper that you can see through.
Paper you can see
right?
through.
Right. Yes. We like medical exam paper. Mm-hmm. Is it even called that anymore?
Okay. To find it on Amazon, like when I share our affiliate link to it, I say medical tracing paper.
Okay.
So it's truly like an amalgam.
So now it has. Yeah. So it has come to that.
So
okay.
it was.
Because it used to be literally from the doctor's office. We would order it from a medical supply company to have it in our store.
Right.
Okay. It did not come, you know, from
the
sewing supply.
It's the stuff on the table.
It's the stuff on the table where they take, you know, and then they pull the other piece down and they throw it away.
Right. Yep. When I used
it comes, I think, 18 inches and 24 inches wide, I
think,
believe.
It's 20, maybe 22.
Or 22. Okay, that sounds right.
There are some differing widths, but you can, some people like Swedish tracing paper, which is like.
There are other tracing papers.
Yeah, there's like stuff that's got dots on it, that's gridded. We just kind of like the medical tracing paper. We trace with it and we draft on it because we have a grid on our table.
Right. You can see the grid through the table.
Yeah.
And it's light and it's easy to store. Was it Stan or was it James? I'm getting them confused. Who went and found the construction paper?
Oh, I think that was Stan.
Was it still?
But now I'm forgetting.
It was one of you guys.
Yeah, sorry, men.
Okay, I've got you blended in my head right now.
All the men together.
So what, if you go to like Home Depot or Menards or whatever your Lowe's, they have it. What it is it's brown paper. Sometimes it'll say contractor's paper.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There's a couple other names, but a lot of times you'll see this paper, like they'll roll it out over your carpet or over your flooring and your, or, you know, on your bathtub or whatever and tape it down to protect the area.
Right.
Okay. Sometimes they put it over windows, whatever, but it's to protect the area while, you know, the contractor's working on another part of the room or whatever.
Right.
So we used to use this. It's great. We used to use this. Before that, we were using newsprint, and the contractor paper is much more durable.
Yeah, newsprint's kind of.
Yeah, it's not as durable, but it was better than the tracing paper. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get more durable. So butcher paper was another thing we used, but it didn't come wide enough, really, you know. The contractor's paper is durable enough, so. I will just tell you how I used it. We're in the costume shop, and we have to make 40 dresses that are all the same, but they're 14 different sizes. Correct. So you might wind up wanting to use this pattern over and over and over and over again. Well, sometimes they will make those out of cardboard.
Right.
So you first trace the pattern, or you can take the pattern as a whole too.
Right.
Whatever, cut the pattern out. And then we would glue it or tape it on top of this other paper, like the contractor's paper, right?
Right.
And then cut it out. And then we had this durable piece of pattern that we could stick up on the bulletin board or hang it on a skirt hanger or what have you. I was the one that said, let's do skirt hangers. We're putting too many holes in this. But anyway, but you could use it over and over and over again.
Right.
Okay, because maybe you weren't cutting all the 14s out of the same color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to make a red 14 color and a black 14 or whatever. So you had this durable pattern left over.
Okay.
Now, people will do this sometimes for, like, a trouser pattern because they make the same trouser over and over and over, you know, at home.
Right.
Because it's hard to store.
Yes.
So the tracing paper, as we talked about, the medical exam, it's easy to store.
Okay, so back to tracing.
Lightweight.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of tracing. That's part of why you trace.
To get used to tracing, the adjustment period. The adjustment period for tracing.
Maybe somebody would want to know.
Maybe
the reason.
Yes.
Why you trace.
No. It's
plus,
great.
I like saying Stan and James.
It's
but anyway,
great. That's great. Mom.
Really, I probably remember who it is. I just wanted to say both their names.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. So when, jeez. I mean, I'm not saying it's unrelated. I'm just saying. So you need tracing paper.
This is not what you call a straight sewing podcast.
It's not a linear podcast. You need a pencil. or some kind of marking utensil, I'd recommend a pencil.
Pencil first.
Because you don't want any kind of permanent marker to bleed through.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you can make mistakes.
Right.
Okay, or you want to, you know, make a change or something like that. So we like to use these big, chunky, mechanical pencils that are really awesome. And also, weighting down your tracing paper on top of your pattern can be good.
I like to tape my pattern down.
Yeah. Some people like to trace on windows.
Yes.
They have a big window.
Or glass table.
They have a glass table, and they put a light under it. Like a big old light box. So that can be nice.
But like a sliding glass door is really great.
Right. I never really have a problem just doing it on our white gridded cutting mat. Okay. Right. So when you're tracing, maybe you're here adjusting to tracing because you had a bad experience. Because you cut out the one size and then you realize you need a different size. And then you're like, oh, I have to go buy the pattern again.
Or my child grew.
Or something like that. Yeah. Or I need to make an adjustment to this pattern, and I wish I had another, you know, part of it to reference or something like that. So it is a whole extra step. I mean, because you're going to trace it, and then you're going to cut it out, okay? Whereas you would have just cut it out before. So you need to just, like, get over it. I say this because I love to cut corners, and I, like, if I'm telling you to trace, you know it's a good extra step to take because I will eliminate steps, okay? So, and I try, you know, I had a big learning experience. You know, I found this pattern and I was like, I'm just gonna cut it out. I'm all within the one size range. And I cut it out and the pattern was misprinted.
Yeah.
So they had mislabeled a line. So I was following what was correctly labeled the line, but I wasn't like proofing the pattern as I went along. So then I cut it and I'm like, oh no, they labeled this line wrong. You know, so even that kind of thing, tracing can save you from that. Tracing, now some people will be like, well, the patterns will go on sale for $1.99, so I'll just buy another pattern. I'm like, well, did you? Do you have to go back to the store now? Did you? Are they $1.99?
Was it
now?
There?
You know, yeah. Or because sometimes they're not $1.99.
Do they make it anymore?
There you go. So yeah, how many? Well, maybe this is a bit of a problem. So if you do trace your patterns and you don't cut into them, you wind up with like 500 patterns in a file cabinet.
No.
Yeah, you do. So you're gonna get used to rolling this tracing paper out and tracing, and you're going to be like, fine, it's an extra step, but it's worth it. And I think you were talking about storage, Mom, right? So you're going to have to store your traced patterns. Mm-hmm. And if you are using the medical exam paper, you know, it doesn't hang up on a skirt hanger very well. It'll get torn up when you're kind of paging through there. So you do fold it up. And we
or
like
roll
to,
it up, whatever.
Yeah. We like to put it in those 9x6, I think that's what they are.
Pattern size. They're like the pattern size Ziploc bag.
Yeah. So a lot of people will post in the group, like I'd say every, you know, couple of weeks, okay, I trace all my patterns. Now, how do I store them?
Right.
You know, they won't fit back in the envelope with the original pattern, you know. So a lot of people will do binders with
the protectors.
With a protector, and they can put their
plastic sheet protectors. They're nice.
Their traced patterns in there. Now, I don't mind. I don't always have to keep the tracing with the pattern.
Right.
Because of how our studio works.
Right.
Okay. That this is kind of special because we have like a filing cabinet for all these patterns. And then we have like Mallory's patterns that she sews for herself and Didi's patterns that she sews for herself. So I'll label my pattern, you know, Vogue 3562. And then if I need a different size or I need to adjust, I'll go find it in the jackets over in the file cabinet, you know. But if you're not like us and don't have 500 patterns, you can just store them together.
Well, and there's, I mean, it's not hard to think this up. So take your, you know, binder page and put your pattern in there and your, you know, your old pattern and your new one together.
Right.
Whatever.
Now
that's something else that Mallory just touched on was labeling.
Yeah, that's another thing. So you are going to have to get used to transferring markings, labeling, and you wrote that down. So you want to talk about that a little bit?
So every marking that's on that pattern, you want to transfer. And you want, and the best way to do it is transfer while you're on the overlay.
Okay, and you know what I always forget to do? So it's like,
what?
I'm following the size 18 line. I'm following the size 18 line. I label, 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 and then I never put size 18. Because how the pattern's labeled is, it'll be like, ginger jeans, view A. And it doesn't say the size because it's a multi-size pattern. The size, there are size labels over on the lines, but I'll forget to write down which size I've traced.
And I would add to, I would add to my labeling too. I would say Mallory.
Yeah.
And
the
date. And I would have, you know, the month and the year at least on it. I might even, in parentheses, put, you know, plaid pants.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you're, you know, plaid wide leg pants, you know, and that date that those were made. That, you know, because it gives me a reference to.
No, I have a
what I've done
about really doing a good job archiving things like that, because I don't put, so I'm like, I'll make a pair of ginger jeans and I don't always put like a size tag on the garment.
Right.
Okay. So I'm like, well, did I make these a size 8 or a size 10? Because if no, I know I've made both sizes, but the one's out of black denim. Is that the size 8 or is that the size 10? You know, and so it can be nice if you have.
And sometimes after you've worn them, measuring them is just
wacko. Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, if you have your stuff together and you can make a beautiful archival thing of all the stuff, you have, like, this is a fantasy of mine, you know, like pull a leather bound volume off of the
show. Sure.
That's a record of everything I've made. You know? Well, so actually, I'm knitting this sweater right now. And I've kind of...
What does this have to do with tracing?
I'm kind of forgetting what size I chose. Okay? Okay? Because you can, you choose it by the bust size.
Right.
And it's like, did I choose the 38 or the 42? Because my bust is a 40. So I was, I'm sure at one point I was like, I can use some extra E's or I'd like some negative E's. And I can't remember what I was thinking and I forgot to highlight it, you know. And so now there are ways.
I just realized, you've been talking about wearing this sweater all day. And I just realized that that's a sweater I bought for a costume piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
No, definitely. Definitely. It's like some old man sweater. And it's my grandpa's sweater.
It was for a Christmas show.
It's so warm. It's great. So anyway, writing down what you were saying is writing down, oh, these were the plaid pants.
Right.
You know, and if you have your...
Or, you know, Zelda's such and such costume or something like that. Whatever makes sense to you, you know, that's what you can write down.
You know, you don't always have to put that on the baggy. Or excuse me, you don't always have to put on the fat on the pattern you traced. You could put a note in the baggie. The other thing is, sometimes there are pattern pieces that, get this, you don't need to trace, that I would just cut out.
Right, like a
rectangles.
Belt. You know, yes. Like, you know, oh, it needs to be 40 inches by 4 inches with a half inch seam allowance or something.
So if I, or I'll cut it out of the main pattern paper.
Well, what I will do sometimes in that case, if I just need a square. Or
you'll measure it.
No, I put it right on the pattern, inside the pattern.
Yeah, you'll write down.
The pocket. This is the pocket. You know, it's this square right here.
Yeah, so I got the ginger jeans pattern printed, like, you know, on copy shop paper, like heavier paper.
Right.
And I cut out the long rectangle. For, like, whatever, the belt loop.
Right.
Because I can just fold it back on the size line.
Or cut it 2 inches shorter.
Yes.
Or whatever.
So I will cut those things out. But here's the rub. Do you store those kind of universal pattern pieces with the original pattern or with the one you traced? You know, how do you do that? And sometimes on some patterns, like the pocket is the same for every size.
Well, and like I say, you know, sometimes I will just write on the, the skirt. Part of the
But what if it's not a square pocket is what I'm saying. You know, sometimes there's like inseam pockets.
Oh,
they look like a kidney.
Right.
And it's the same for size 2 to 10.
That, but what I'm saying is if it's something that's 2x4, I will just write the pocket is 2x4.
No, I know, I know. But what I'm saying is where I will
Then you have to make the decision.
Yeah, where I will cut something out is
here's my deal.
I would
cut a new one out. And keep it with, you know, I would trace it,
Oh, you would
too.
Do a new one.
Well, yeah, because then I'm
You would.
No,
That's very thorough.
Then I don't have to go, where is it? Or what you could do is you could write on the pattern, I have stored this in the original.
Or yeah, if I did a binder system, this is where, like, I'd keep a baggie of, like, whatever you want to call it, universal pattern pieces.
Yeah.
And then I'd have my size 18 pattern pieces that I traced, and I have my original ones, you know. And then if I need to go trace the size 12, I'll trace my size 12s, and then I'll go to that baggie that has the universal pattern pieces, and I don't have to do extra work.
Or you could cut out your pocket, and it could, like, migrate around
it could just,
the entire studio for a couple of days before you found
true.
It again.
That's true. See, I don't want to cut more things out, more things to lose, you know? Okay? Or maybe more backups for when I lose the other one. Okay, so
I'm sure we've recruited so many people.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody thinks this is a great idea.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to come to the dark side. Yes.
I have a pair of trousers. I just did a live broadcast about this. They're these utility work trousers. Got all these pockets on them and stuff. And I'm going to measure, and the pattern includes the finished pattern measurements. So I love that, right? So I'm going to make sure that I choose based on that. And I'm going to trace, and I'm going to make a muslin before I cut into, you know, special fabrics. And then I will, if I make my muslin and it doesn't fit, I can go back and I can retrace a different size or blend between sizes.
There you go.
So I really do follow this piece of advice.
I think another reason that I am very much Team Trace is because I draft most of my patterns.
Yeah.
So I'm oftentimes coming off of a sloper, you know, anyway.
Well, yeah, if you're comfortable making those, like, edits, like neckline edits and fit edits and all of that, tracing is just kind of second nature to you. When you order a roll of this medical exam paper, it's going to last you, like, almost forever, okay? It's going to last you a long time.
You're not me.
Right, yeah. But keep it handy. And you probably already
have a place
for marking
things. The other
thing
that we have used to draft on or trace on is wrapping paper.
Yeah.
Now, and some of it has a grid on the back, which is kind of neat. But then you come up with the issue of, can you see through it?
Yeah, that's see. Yeah, you're getting away from tracing.
Right.
You know.
I'm drafting.
You're drafting.
But I have done that.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I have done it.
Well, and you were talking about something being harder to trace after it's cut out.
That's right.
Well, if I cut it out and I do want to trace it onto, like, something heavier, I could put it on top and I don't have to see through it.
No, that's what
so
you do.
So there's that.
That's what I mean about the tracing paper, or the wrapping paper. I have done that where it's already been actually like
it's
a pattern
cut.
That you've almost worn out.
Mm-hmm.
Then you may want to trace it.
Yeah.
You know, you may want to copy it so it doesn't fall apart in your envelope while you're not there.
Well, we'll see if you get used to tracing or not, everybody. See if you can.
It's so much fun.
Can you handle the adjustment period? But I have to say, we will get posts in the group every couple of weeks, every month. So, okay, I've crossed over.
We do every once in a while.
I don't see posts where it's like, I'm never tracing again. You know, I do see posts, though, where people are like, okay.
Well, now, we do get a lot of team cutouts making fun of team tracers.
Yes,
we do get that.
And that's fine. That's fine.
We can handle it.
Yeah, we can
handle it. Team Trace can handle it.
There's
enough of us, we can handle
it. Please have a sense of humor, everyone, about it. Like, we're talking
about
sewing.
Do what makes you happy.
Right.
Sew what makes you happy.
Yeah, okay, well, now say your tagline.
Okay. So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.